Welcome to the podcast series The New Student Pharmacist, where we discuss chemistry and pharmacy, as well as leaders in pharmacy careers, community, and chemistry and pharmacy research. We encourage you to support the work we are doing and follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by subscribing for free. Note, the views on the podcast represent those of my guest and I.
Purpose of these episodes not at all for advice or medical suggestions. These are aimed to provide support to peer pharmacists in training in educational and intellectually stimulating ways. Again, these are not at all for medical advice or medical suggestions. Please see your local board and state certified health professional. The views of this podcast represent those of my guests and I.
Okay, Joshua, it is so good to have you on the podcast today. Welcome to the New Student Pharmacist Podcast Experience. We're so glad to have you listening in today. Feel free to download this podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and a variety of other platforms. Here on this podcast, we discuss pharmacy ideas, research in chemistry, as well as successful student athlete stories and successful entrepreneurs and their impact in society. We're happy you're tuning in. My guest today is Joshua Charles, CEO and founder at Frontier Dominion Limited. Dr. Charles is the founder and CEO of Frontier Dominion Limited, a dynamic global advisory firm committed to providing unparalleled expertise at the intersection of international geopolitics and business strategy. As the driving force behind Frontier Dominion Limited, Joshua leverages his profound grasp of research methodologies to empower clients in navigating the ever-changing global business landscape. As the leader of Frontier Dominion, Joshua Childs brings a diversity of experience and expertise to the role. He has a strong background in research and development, honed to his role to Constellation Energy Corporation, the Southern African Institute for Policy and Research, Climate Vault, and Cambridge Global Advisors. His adeptness in research, business development, and strategic acumen has been impactful in positively contributing to the success of diverse organizations. He holds a master's degree in public policy from the University of Chicago, where he was honored as a Pearson Fellow. Formative years at Cornell University culminated in a Bachelor of Science Interdisciplinary Studies, crowned by distinction in research. Joshua, seems like you are doing well. So how are you doing today?
Oh, pushing along, David, and thank you so much for the warm invitation, man.
Yeah, dude, happy to have you. So what drew you to specialize in the field of geopolitics and business strategy, considering your background in research and development? So basically, to make this simple for like lay people, why do you have the interests that you have? What are your interests and why are they those?
Yeah, that's a great question, David. And so for me, the way that I look at that question is I really look back at my experiences in life. And so I think I've really, throughout my career, I have really honed in on research. I think it's a fantastic way to expeditiously learn about the world. And so by conducting more research on topics such as international finance and institutional economics, I have been able to understand global dynamics, but this led me to be curious about how I can more practically support the corporate development, essentially the business development amidst global uncertainty. And so I see having a business that specializes in geopolitics and business strategy being a way that allows me to kill two birds with one stone. Okay. In a really unique and exciting way.
Okay, so can you break it down? What's geopolitics and why is it important to the average person?
Yeah, so geopolitics is really the study of the changes in geographical locations throughout the world and how that intersects with politics and how that has been influenced with politics. So it's important to the day-to-day listener because they need to know what's happening around them for them to prosper and achieve their goals. They need to know what the government is providing to them. They need to know what challenges and roadblocks that their respective government may have in order for them to, say, maximize their benefits received. So there are different ways to look at it, but certainly if you are an entrepreneur, it's beneficial to know what's going on so you can see different opportunities. Mm. And it's so good to know from the angle of being a constituent and ensuring that your political leaders are acting in ways that are reflective of you and your interests at the end of the day.
Okay, so as we continue, I'll throw in a few popcorn questions. What do you do for fun, Joshua? What do you do for fun? How do you have fun?
For fun?
What do you do for fun? What do? Just pick it up with your friends? Or like, how do you have fun?
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's important to find what works for you, especially as you're looking to find balance in your life. And so for me, I love to travel. It gives me an immense peace of mind. Okay. The last few years, I've been to different parts of the world, and it's also a way for me to learn about, to just connect and learn more about the cultural nuances throughout the world. Mm-hmm. I love to lift weights, man, and I love to, partake in mixed martial arts. So I do a few things, but those are pretty much the main things that keep me busy outside
of. So, with that in mind, how do you keep balance for your work and life? How do you keep work-life integration? What do you do As the founder and CEO of Frontier Dominion Limited, you went to University of Chicago, which is a venerable university in Chicago, venerated, highly admired. And I know I've heard of it in so many different ways. Of course, you were Pritzker School of Medicine and stuff like that. But you've been to very good schools. You're currently a CEO of a business. How do you keep balance and work-life integration?
Yeah, so like I was saying earlier, it's important for you to find out, to find what works for you. And so it's also beneficial for me, at least, to have a systematic way of going about my days as well as my week. So like I said, I work out a few times a week to mix martial arts here and there. And so I know at this time in a day, on this day, I am working out. On this day, at this specific time, I am in mixed martial arts practice. On this day, on this time, I am maybe disconnecting, like usually on a Saturday evening or a Friday evening, spending time with friends and family. And so you have to find out what works for you. And so this is what I do to stay balanced.
Good. Sounds good. So finding the right professional environment is crucial. How do you find the good settings, or how do you find, or how do you find the environment for you to thrive in, whether that be the environment that you create for yourself or the university that you're attending? What process do you go through to find a good place for you to fit in or to thrive in?
Yeah. So that's a fantastic question. And I think it really comes down to, it comes down to a few things. You know, I think it comes down to being open-minded. So I have engaged with a lot of different organizations with different managerial structures. And so from the vantage point of knowing what works for me, it has taken experience to learn that I like highly transparent and communicative work environments that are fast-paced. I also believe that it's important to move with curiosity and have a willingness to learn, but most importantly, you have to analyze the work environment that you're in. At the end of the day, it is beneficial to understand the dynamics of the workforce you're in, understand how your manager may work if you have one, to not only ensure that you are remaining respectful, but also you can find a way to show your manager that you are interested in the work that you're being assigned, because we all have to start from somewhere, and in doing so, they will likely feel more compelled to do a better job at helping you grow and ultimately help support the business objective for the organization that they're working at.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. So how can you shed light on how you cultivate a sense of vision and consistently strong like management within your firm? How do you keep vision? What do you do to keep perspective and keep insight into what you're trying to do within your firm? How do you keep vision and goals and targets and objectives you alluded to earlier?
Yeah, so it's important to establish KPIs whether you are in the consulting industry or you are simply an entrepreneur or simply someone just looking to improve in life. And so you have to establish KPIs, or for those that don't know, key performance indicators that are appropriate for the space that you're looking to improve in. And so in the consulting industry, like for client stewardship, this may look like the frequency of engaging with potential clients. And personally, this may look like setting milestones that you would like to achieve in life, but actually spending time, right? You have to spend time to understand where you would like to go in life, personally, as well as in the business sense, or even professionally. And so by really identifying those milestones, those goals, and having that vision, you can see you can align the actions you take on the daily to where you'd like to go in life. And I think that's ultimately how you get things done.
Okay, good, man, good. So can you share any pivotal moments or decisions that significantly shaped your career trajectory in the field of public policy, politics, or even with your business? What story can you think about that, whether it be like fun times you have with your friends that really influenced your perspective, or whether it be some type of sporting event that you went to? What story could you share with the audience that really influenced your career trajectory, even your personal perspective?
That's a great question. And what instantly comes to mind is when I went to Lusaka, Zambia for the first time.
Okay.
Prior to this trip, I did not have any international experience. And so in this capacity, I was interning for an organization called the African Forum, AfroDad, so the African Forum and Network on Debt and Development. And so I spent some time digging into some fun public debt management policy research. And I think by being intentional with that experience, but you know, like, yes, you work, you know, yes, I like to do work, but there was also a time to relax and play. And
let's go.
You know, I think, David, I think that's how you roll too.
Yeah, of course, dude. You have to be able to have some fun, man. You have to be able to have some fun.
So definitely, you know, by just assimilating myself in the culture, going out, meeting people who were from Zambia, and who actually understood, okay, this is what you do in this setting, this is what you do in that setting, this is how you eat like this food and stuff like that. That's really what allowed me to, or really convinced me to think more globally and expand my horizons to seek to cultivate solutions that are outside, that yes, are inclusive of issues going on in America, but transcend beyond borders, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah, I hear you, dude. Cultural competency, it sounds like what you're pointing to. It's like being able to like appreciate the culture change and operate and navigate it appropriately, so that you are inclusive, you're respectful, and you're also informed how you operate it. That's good.
Yeah.
So, what role has mentorship played in your career? Can you name a few mentors or name someone who served as a really good mentor for you?
Mentorship has, you know, without a doubt, changed my trajectory in life. And I think in life, you have to be willing, you have to have this willingness to learn. And so usually, you know, my mentors in life, they're much older than I am, and they are able to give me advice on different pathways that I can take in life. Some ideas that I might have, as well as just how I can be a better man, right? And so by gaining clarity and bouncing ideas back with different mentors of mine, this has been helpful for me in the shape of committing myself to geopolitics and business strategy as a way to increase my positive influence in the world. And so some mentors that come to mind instantly, one of my professors from Cornell University, John Hockenot, he deals with essentially the economics of malnutrition and poverty and things like that. So a very dense topic, but he, as well as other people along the way, have supported me in ways that I cannot express enough gratitude. And so I think, especially not only as someone from, you know, perhaps an underrepresented background, it is really crucial to have those people saying, oh, you probably want to do that and not this, or you probably want to go ahead and be patient and take a step back and do this when it makes more sense. So we all need that, man, and can benefit so much from doing that in our lives.
I really agree with you, you know, getting advice on how to be a better professional or a better person. You know, I completely agree. I have several mentors I have listed them before in the podcast. My parents, of course, Chancellor May, Dr. Langer, Dr. Dean Bayer, they've been really helpful to me. So the reason why I asked that question was because I want to hear, like you mentioned some of mentorship. So how do you go about finding mentors? You know, because I know how I go about it, and I can share that as well. But people, a lot of times, mentorship emphasizes a key thing for people to either access or pursue. So how do you go about it? Some people, like one of my previous guests, mentioned how you should take them out to lunch. For me, how I go about it is I email and I reach out, I find points of interest, people with similar career trajectories or a career trajectory that I'm trying to align myself with or be parallel with. I try and find points where I can discuss with them so that I bring value to the space. I do my homework essentially. Mm-hmm. So how do you go about finding mentors? Because like in my opinion, yes, mentors may find you, and that's very serendipitous. That makes a really good movie scene, a really good movie, you know, someone
comes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but the reality is many times you have to go out and find them yourself. You have to do for yourself. So how do you go about finding them?
Yeah, you know, it's I essentially do what you do, man, which is I do the research. I look into, you know, I look into different subject experts that may align with, one, where I'm trying to go in life, but two, who may just have that experience of maybe not being, say, an entrepreneur or perhaps a politician, right? But someone who has that demonstrated track record of knowing what's what in a specific industry that I'm interested in. And I think, like, you gotta be intentional and conduct the outreach. You know, you have to follow up with people 2 to 3 times in case they are not receptive to you, and just be patient. It takes time to get on people's calendars, yep, especially as you start to really move up in life. So can't expect to, like the point that I think you were alluding to, David, is you can't expect to receive that mentorship. We don't live in a perfect world, and if you're not doing the outreach and doing what you can to receive that help, mm-hmm, you know, very seldom is someone going to actually reach out to you, at least in my experience, and say, hey, I recognize your potential, let me help you out, let me mentor you. That's not how the world works, generally.
Yeah, generally, that's not how it works. And, you know, I heard someone say, I was listening to them, and this may sound very, this will add a little bit more weight to what you're saying, even though what you said has a lot of weight. You know, I'm all for the Disney movies. I'm all for the Disney movies. But the reality is, you know, someone came for Cinderella, someone came for Snow White, someone came for all of the other characters. But the reality is, in life, you have to show up for yourself, and you have to find support. Of course, thankfully, I have a faith perspective, so I believe that I'm never in a situation by myself or just with me and the people. I believe there's a higher power. I believe in God. So that's my personal perspective. I'm never alone in whatever I face, emotionally, physically, spiritually, however you want to phrase it. That's me. But reality is, practically speaking, you have to show up for yourself. That means you have to do the homework. That means you have to, and this is the thing I've realized, and I'll we'll continue the conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
I've realized, when you set a high standard for yourself, you're able to perform at that standard, people will hold you to that standard.
Right. Yeah.
People will hold you to that standard. So when you make a track record for yourself and you show that you can perform at a high standard, you cannot, yes, you'll have make mistakes. Yes, you'll have days when you're a little bit off and you have to like come back to center. But the reality is, you benefit and you enjoy the benefits of being at the high standard. So you have to continue to perform at the high standard.
Yeah.
You have to continue to perform. And that's something I have to remind myself of too, you know? You set a standard for yourself. You're able to reach that standard. The goal, now the question now is not whether you can reach the standard, but how can I be consistent at reaching it?
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, how can I be consistent, you know? I enjoy doing X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Enjoy doing certain things. How can I be consistent with making sure I do them well, I do them thoroughly? that may mean I'm gonna have to spend more time in the preparation phase. That may mean I have to slow down on execution part. When it's time for me to actually do the task, I have to slow down to make sure that I'm hitting all the targets, reaching my objectives, doing my goals. You get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, yeah, 100%, man. And let me just add this to what you're saying. And it's
go ahead.
At the end of the day, we're focused on, or it's to level up in life. You have to remember, you have to bear in mind that your reputation is everything. And if you, to David's point, if you are performing, if you're known to perform at a high level, you will be expected to continuously do so for a very long time, for the rest of, you know, your relationship with XYZ. Yes, you know, that might be uncomfortable. You might go through challenges in life, but at the end of the day, you will have so many doors open for you by this person, as well as the recognition that will come from the work that you produce. There are so many people who talk about you. If you are a high performing individual, they look you up online, they look at you from far, and they monitor your progress. Some people, they might be wanting you to fail in life. Other people, they might be rooting for you. You know, like I often hear that if you don't have any haters, you're doing something wrong.
I hear what you're saying, but I can be honest with you. I'm glad you bring that up. Let's go to town on that one. Because this is the thing, you know. When it comes to haters, haters, however you want to pronounce it. I'm from the Bahamas, so we say things a little differently. But they're never my focus. I'm aware of them. I'm aware of people who may potentially be oppositional. Let me phrase it in a more politically correct way. And so I'm speaking with the policy expert. I'm consciously aware of the opposition. I'm the progenitors of it. But they're never my focus, and that's not coming from a sense of hubris. It's coming from a sense of cockiness or a sense of condescension. That's coming from the fact that I have a faith perspective, and that I'm never of the opinion or perspective or conviction, rather, that they are in control.
Yeah.
So if you are not in control, if you cannot influence my trajectory, and if you cannot even, if you're just like a distraction in the environment. One of the things we learn in science is when we have a problem to solve, or if you have an objective to reach, you define the system.
Right.
And the system is the thing under observation. So in my opinion, they're not even in the system. The thing that's being observed, they're just extraneous. They're just like a spectating iron, if you will. They play no part.
I agree.
Yeah, dude. But yeah, I heard you saying, you know, people, yeah, the reality is, we have this expression back home of dogs don't bark at parked cars.
Okay.
And what that means is they bark at the cars that are moving. People will only come and start to oppose you when they see you making progress in a specific direction.
No? Yeah. You know, 100%, man. 100%. It's not to say that I personally, like, yes, you can be aware of people who, you know, they speak to speak go politically. Ahead. Clearly defined opposing points to you, right? But at the end of the day, they're not a priority. And I think too, another point, you have to recognize when it is success, when it will be helpful to leverage certain relationship dynamics in a way that is beneficial to you. So that can look like persuading people and things like that, when it comes to entrepreneurship, when it comes to just getting things done, when it comes to being a pharmacist, all these things, and you're dealing with people, that is something that inherently will serve you well.
Yeah, and another way for us to put this, in a more PC way, is interpersonal difference, right? Interpersonal conflicts, you know? So conflicts that come about in relationships, and you have to know you have to really gauge that well. I'm not an expert at conflict resolution in any way, shape, or form, but what I can say is you have to know when to like really hone in on self-care. You have to know when to reach out to people to really get the situation under control. But yeah, man, I'm glad you brought that up. So what has been some beneficial advice that you have received, or what has been some beneficial advice that you, what has been or what is some beneficial advice that you can give to people for pursuing a degree in public policy?
No, this is something that one of my mentors tells me again and again, and it's that you just got to go out there and see what you like, see what you don't like. Try things out. You will learn through trial and error. But I wouldn't say anything would be an error in that regard. And eventually something will click, which will serve as your guiding light in life. So you got to try things out. You know, I've done some work in nuclear energy. I've done some work in public health cessation policy. Done some work in agricultural economics. Some of these things did not stick with me, some of them did, and you know, and then you keep it pushing.
Yeah, that's good, dude. And if you had more time, probably do another episode probably later on. But the reason why I mentioned that to you is because I wrote a paper on a situational analysis on how education can be a driving factor for economic development. So that'd be a good paper to hear you make some comments on. I'll probably send it to you after you finish. But yeah, dude, so what advice would you give to someone who sees your career path, who sees what you're doing, and they want to know, they're just coming out of high school or they're just starting college, what advice would you give to them as they're getting started? What key things, what practical tips could you give to them, like in terms of like how they should prepare for things, or like how they plan their days so that they can do or continue in a trajectory that's similar to yours?
Yeah. So for me, it's really, or rather the people out there, aspiring professionals in the geopolitical and business strategy space, I think it's important to really spend time thinking about the impact that you would like to have in this world, in this lifetime, and do the research like David and I were mentioning earlier. Do the research to seek out that mentorship. Well, one, understand the people who may align and be able to help you with your vision, but to actually reach out to them and maintain these relationships throughout time. You really don't know what doors can open. And so if you are in high school thinking about even what college you would like to go to, really spend time thinking about where you'd like to go in life. And it's perfectly okay for that to be, I would say, idealistic to others, but to you, anything is possible in this life. And so even though others may believe that, okay, this person is thinking outlandishly, this person is crazy, if it makes sense to you at a given point in time, then it makes sense to you, and work from there as you have a guiding light. And recognize that, you know, in brief, where you are today or who you are today may not be who you are tomorrow. So if you are an aspiring professional, welcome changes, welcome the struggle, and welcome the growth that will come as you attain excellence.
All right. Just give me 1 second. I want to get something to show in this episode.
No problem.
Okay, Joshua, we're back. So this is the reason why, I went away. So yeah, along your point of people may think it's impossible, people may think it's outlandish, their perceptions may be of the disposition that are possible for you, but the reality is you can do anything you put your mind to, that you have the skills to do and the grace to do. Case in point, there's a textbook that I wrote, a science textbook. I wrote high school chemistry for everyone. This is a 514-page book, and 50% of the proceeds for this book, when integrated into different places, goes back, or it will go back as it's being integrated to the schools that integrated. So 50% of the proceeds will go back. So how is it going to look? I started writing this book when I was 24. Now I'm 26 now. So you can't, like, another expression we have back home, you can't mind the noise in the market. You have to check the price of your fish. You have to focus. You have to focus on what's important to you. You know, it's your life. Don't let no one take that from you. Make sure you own it.
Right, right. You know, who else is going to live life for us?
Who else is going to live your life? You know,
Yeah. You know, we are the ones who will steer the ship. We are the ones who will face the consequences of our actions if we don't take them, or if we do take them. Regardless of what you do, there will be the input, there will be an output, whether it be more positive or negative, depending on your vantage point. It's just a matter, it's your life, do what you want at the end of the day.
And do what contributes to the overall good. And this is the thing, you know, steady state is only theoretical. You're either accumulating or you're consuming. You're either generating or you create. State is a theoretical construct. It rarely is it true in terms of how we're operating on a day-to-day basis. You're either moving forward or you are falling behind. But be encouraged, everyone. Glad to have you listening. Once again, this is the new Student Pharmacist Podcast. Thanks again, Joshua, for joining me today.
Thank you, David.
Thanks for listening to the podcast series, The New Student Pharmacist, where we discuss chemistry and pharmacy, as well as leaders in pharmacy careers, community, and chemistry and pharmacy research. We encourage you to support the work we are doing and follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by subscribing for free. We are so glad that you were able to tune in today. Note, the views on the podcast represent those of my guest, and I take care and all the best.